Shabbos Rav Kohn. Any other Rebbeim, Talmidim? Last week Rabbi Shnal mentioned a comment of Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos, where Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the words of Ein Ani Li Mi Li in the first parak of Avos, that sometimes a person has a certain external hisoros. A person hears something and for a moment it's very real and it's very exciting and there's a commitment to change. But at the end of the day, says Rabbeinu Yonah explaining Chazal, Ein Ani Li Mi Li, if a person doesn't find a way to internalize it, if a person doesn't take it in, if a person doesn't absorb it, then it only lasts a very short while. And I always feel that when it comes to Sichas Musar, so many great ideas shared by such outstanding Rebbeim, but we have to stop once in a while to just remind ourselves before we start what we're trying to do. The Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, passed away in the 1920s. He said that the minhag in Belz was that the Hasidim would wear the top button of their shirts open, and they would wear their pant leg tucked into tall socks. At one time, one of the Hasidim decided to forge a new path for himself. He decided to start buttoning the top button and wearing the pant leg straight, wearing it open. And the Belzer Rebbe said, "Don't you understand that everything that we do here is Toloi Bahari HaKodesh, that there's a reason for the things that we do?" He said, "The reason we have the top button open is that way when we're trying to pour Yiras Shamayim into you, there's an opening, you're like a kli that's ready to be makabel. And the pant leg is tucked in at the bottom to make sure that it doesn't slip out the bottom." He said, "But by you now, you close the top and you open the bottom. Even if I stuff a little Yiras Shamayim into you, it's going to fall right out the bottom." A person has to be a kli to be makabel. Baruch Hashem, I think the minhag here is that we wear the top button open. Some people even two buttons open. I notice. I don't see anyone with high socks yet. Pants are sometimes a little tight. But we have to try to not just talk diburim ba'alma, to try to absorb something. So I want to talk about two things which are really opposites tonight and try to somehow put the two together. Everyone who's here now, sitting in the Beis Medrash, is in the Beis Medrash because we know what it means to be in a Beis Medrash. And we know the excitement and the simcha that a Jew feels when we immerse ourselves in Torah, when we even taste those moments where a morning seder goes by and you look at your watch and you can't believe that it's over because it was so exciting, it was so sweet. You're so immersed, so deeply immersed in Torah that it flew by. And you lose yourself. You enter into a space that's really beyond space and beyond time. And you're totally, totally enveloped by the Beis Medrash as if there's nothing else in the world that matters at all. And again, as B'nai Yeshiva, we know what that is. We've experienced that. Even if it's just for a moment, if we've ever tasted that, we know it's one of the sweetest feelings in the world. We know that there are certain mitzvos that Chazal say, Revolvi has a little safer on this inyan, mitzvos hashkulos, mitzvos that are keneged kulam. And some Svarim explain that what makes a certain mitzvah keneged kulam, it's a mitzvah that you do with your entire body. If the 613 mitzvos correspond to the different parts of the body, as Chazal say, as Chafetz Chaim talks about at the beginning of the third chelik of the Mishnah Berurah, so if there's a mitzvah that I do with my entire body, memeila, that mitzvah is keneged kol haTorah kula. So when I go into a sukkah, I surround myself with a sukkah, so that's why you find in the piyut by sukkahs, the sukkahs is keneged kol haTorah kula, it's keneged kol haMitzvos. Tzitzis has an inyan of being keneged kol haTorah kula, because it also develops a person. Shabbos, when it's Shabbos, you're surrounded by Shabbos, you're completely immersed in Shabbos. So I was sitting in my sukkah a couple of years ago, and I was thinking about this idea, and I realized the opposite is also true. It means that if we know from the opening Mishnah Maseches Peah that Talmud Torah keneged kula, that if we know Torah is keneged all the other mitzvos, that it must mean that when a person is learning Torah, he also has to be completely enveloped by Torah. Completely surrounded, completely immersed in that world called Torah. When we come to learn Torah, we know we have to recite a Birchas HaTorah. And a lot's been written, Rishonim Achronim, what's the nature of Birchas HaTorah? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Birchas HaShevach? Is it a Birchas HaNenin? Like the Levush seems to say, like the Stipler writes in the Kilos Yaakov and Simon Chav Dalet in Brachos. A Birchas HaNenin, that's an amazing idea. You think about Torah as a Birchas HaNenin, the sweetness of Torah. That the same way that before a person eats something, asr leyanos liolam hazeh below bracha, so too a person needs a birchas hananin before he has a right to learn Torah. There's a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman, where he quotes from Rav Pesach Frank. It's in the Minchas Shlomo and Siman Tzadi Aleph. And he says that Rav Pesach Frank says to such a degree that if a person, ba'ones, can't, for whatever reason, make a birchas Torah, then he's not allowed to learn. He doesn't have a shush to learn. Without that bracha, also Leia knows he can't have the hana of learning without that bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's a little much, that maybe he could learn. But it's an amazing idea to think about. It's a birchas hananin when a person is immersed in Torah. And I think that itself proves that it's a birchas hananin. Tosfos and Maseches Pesachim, and Nun Gimel Amud Beis, ask the following question. Why don't we make a bracha every time we walk into a dark room and turn on a light? We're nana from the or. Why don't we make a bracha on that light? The Asr Leyanos Yolam Hazeh below bracha, he quotes the cloud from the beginning of the sixth parak of brachos. And Tosfos and Pesachim Nun Gimel Amud Beis says, V'teretz, Dahani Mili Kishagufo Nana. Aval shar hana lo. That when does a person make a bracha on getting hana from something if his body enjoys it? So isn't that amazing? If you say that birchas Torah is a birchas hananin, and you're telling me the definition of birchas hananin means that your body enjoys it, that means when a person's learning Torah, it's not just my neshama is having an experience. My whole body is immersed in it. I'm swimming in it. I'm surrounded by it. I'm totally, totally immersed in the Beis HaMedrash. Those who learn Daf Yomi just finished the second parak of Baba Basra, Lo Yachpor. And on Daf of Gimel Amud Beis, Rav Yirmiyah gets kicked out of the Beis Medrash. Rav Yirmiyah asks the question, he says, he's trying to figure out, you know, if you have a bird that's standing with, the Mishnah describes, a person has to be careful that his shovach, that the birds in his dove coat don't cause damage to neighbor's property. Have to create a buffer zone. So let's say, says one of the Halakha Tanaim, let's say you have a bird standing with 1 foot in the boundary and 1 foot outside the boundary. Is that considered in or is that considered out? And they threw Rav Yirmiyah out of the Beis HaMedrash. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, explained in 1992, he said it was one of the last shmuzin that he heard from his father, the Imre Amis. He said that why did he get kicked out of the Beis HaMedrash? 1 foot in, 1 foot out. The Imre Amis was a person who didn't waste a second. The Imre Amis was a person who knew what it meant to be fully immersed. That the guf should also be nana from swimming in the Beis HaMedrash mamish. The Imre Amis explained that if you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you might as well go out of the Beis HaMedrash. Because you're not going to be nana from the Beis HaMedrash if you're not fully in it, if you're not swimming in it. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, it's a mitzvah that's, keneged kulam means it's a mitzvah that has to involve our entire body. And when you're in it, when you taste that, when a person experiences that, you realize there's nothing else in the world. I don't need anything else in the world. I hardly need to eat, I hardly need to drink, I hardly need to sleep. I just want to sit. I just want to sit and swim in the Dvar Hashem. Mishnah says in Parakinyan Torah, Kachi darcha shel Torah. Pas v'melech tochel, mayim v'besura tishta, v'al aretz tishan, amish v'stapik v'muad. No food, no drink, sleep on the floor. Chai tzar tichya, what a great life. You live a life of difficulty and pain, v'torah ata amel, im ata osakein ashrecha v'tovlach, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlach li'olam haba. Someone once came to the Chazon Ish and said, my son is getting crazy with this thing you have called Torah. He's not interested in anything else. He's obsessed with Torah. He's not going to make enough money. He's not going to be able to eat well. He's not going to be able to drink well. He's not going to be able to sleep well. And he says, and I don't understand. He said, my son showed me this Mishnah, but I don't understand it. This Raisa and Kinyan Torah, I don't understand it. Ashrecha v'tovlach, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlach li'olam haba. I get the tovlach li'olam haba. I get that part. But how is it ashrecha b'olam hazeh? It's not so ashrecha in olam hazeh. To sleep on the floor, to eat bread dipped in salt, a little bit of water. And the Chazon Ish said to him, you're missing the key words in the Mishnah. You're missing the key phrase in Chazal. Im ata osakein, ashrecha v'tovlach. I can't explain that to you. You have to experience it. Im ata osakein. If you come and do it, if you come immerse yourself in it the way your son's immersing himself in it, you'll understand exactly what your son is experiencing. But until you experience it, it seems so strange, it seems so far. So we all understand what it means to be in the Beis Medrash. We understand the sweetness. Again, whether we've tasted it a lot or a little. We understand the Birchas Hananin, that again, some say is the very mahus of the Birchas Hatan. But there's a downside, and I think it's mamish, the Esir HaVazochet, to speak parsha Mishpatim also. There's a downside which I think the parsha tells us about, the danger of a person whose head is only in the Beis HaMedrash. A person who never ever picks his head up and looks out that window and reminds himself that there's a world of others. There's a huge universe filled with others. And that's mamash this week's parsha. You open up this week's parsha, we just got the Torah, Kabbalah's the Torah, last week's parsha. You open up this week's parsha, and who do we meet in this week's parsha? Not such great B'nai Aliyah. You meet slaves, Jewish and non-Jewish. You meet maidservants. You meet thieves. You meet abusers. You meet those who have been abused. You meet all sorts. You meet murderers. You meet all sorts of very strange characters throughout this week's parsha. You meet people who are very reckless with their belongings and other people's belongings. People who are careless. And at the same time, you also mixed in are some very great people. You meet great judges and great leaders, people with unbelievable perspective. And you're trying to somehow reconcile the Kabbalah Satorah of last week's Parsha, the reality of if I want to have a Birchas Hanan, and if I want to enjoy Torah, I have to be swimming in it. It has to be a full body experience. And at the same time, I'm looking at myself against this, you know, this Erev Rav, this mixed multitude of this week's Parsha, and I'm recognizing that there's a lot of others. There's a lot of people who don't have a kesher to what's going on here, what's going on in the Beis Medrash. The Piyazetzer and the Chovas HaTalmidim in the Akdama, when he writes his Siachim HaMalamdim V'Avos HaBanim, when he's writing to Rabbeim, he's writing to the Bnei Yeshiva, the people who I guess are in the Beis Medrash, and he's writing to parents about their children. And he writes it so beautiful, how Baruch Hashem, there are yeshivas, and there are Rabbeim, and they're surrounded by their Talmidim. And sometimes you immerse yourself in that, and it's a beautiful thing. But the Piyazetzer Rebbe says, but a person could also rip the hair out of his head when he recognizes what's happening in the world outside of the Beis Medrash. Aval yoshitu na'as roshem chutz midalat amos shel yeshivo sayam. But says the Piyazetzer Rebbe, I dare you to poke your head outside your dalat amos once in a while and see what's happening in the streets. Aval yiru na'as ha'amon ha'gadol ha'chofshim rachmanu litzlan. Look how there are many people who should in theory have a kesher to the Beis Medrash, and they're going free in the street, carefree in the street. He says, but the measures which were once full, some of them are a little more empty today. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about that world of others, that whole world, again, made up of all these different types of people, who again are our people, and yet they don't have a kesher. They don't have a kesher to what's going on when a person's head is fully immersed, swimming in that world of the Beis HaMedrash. And again, I think that's what the parsha is begging us to think about. To think about what's going to be with the Eved Ivri, what's going to be with the Eved Kanani, what's going to be with the Amma Ivriya, what's going to be with the murderers, what's going to be with the robbers, what's going to be with the people who take advantage of others, what's going to be with those who are destitute. Baruch Yisuv HaGashmias, who's looking out for them? If we're only immersing our heads in the Beis HaMedrash. I know some people here have been Zocha in recent weeks. We started, with the guidance of some of the Mashkichim, that some of the different programs should start to interact together a little bit more. And it's such a beautiful thing that some of the MYP shirim are learning with the guys in JSS, the IBC guys are learning with the BMP guys, to mix it up, to have conversations, to realize that there are other people who are part of my yeshiva, who are part of our Klal Yisrael, who maybe I never spoke to in my life. It's easy for a person to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that I'm the center of the universe, and that's true, because I'll say such a thing. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. But there's so many others with different perspectives. So I can surround myself by, again, like the Piyazetzer says here, I can surround myself by my Dalet Amos. I can stay in the place where I feel most comfortable. And I can convince myself that because I'm inside and everyone else, all those others are outside, then I'm right and they're, by definition, wrong. And I'm in the Beis Medrash. So I must be right. I must have the true perspective of things. And again, anyone who's been in the Beis Medrash, anyone who knows what it means to be in the Beis Medrash, believes that. The Emunah Shleima. But at the same time, there's a world outside. And there are other perspectives. And we have to know that even when we're right, we still have to look outside. We still have to try to understand what does someone else think is right, and how can I help that person maybe to come to realize what I believe is right? How can we share ideas in an appropriate way? To talk to one another, to connect to one another. I mentioned the Belzer Rebbe, who said to that chassid, you know, the way we dress in bells is a little different than the way you're dressing now. So that same Belzer Rebbe, again, he passed away in 1926. The Belzer Rebbe one time, towards the end of his life, it was difficult for him to be heard. His voice wasn't strong, he was very weak. People would come to the tish, they would crowd around, fight for a position, to be able to hear a few words, Divrei Elokim Chaim, from the Tzaddik. And there was one wise guy who came to the Beis Medrash a little bit early, came to the Tisch a little bit early, and snuck under the table where the Rebbe would be sitting. That way he could hear the Rebbe. Oh, Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. He sat under the table, wants to hear the Rebbe as best he can. And he's sitting there, as people are filing in, and one of the Gabayim see a little foot sticking out from under the table. And the Gabbai goes over and he says, no, you can't sit under the Rebbe's table. And he starts to pull him out from under the table. And this person's fighting back, and there's this tug of war taking place, and the Beis Medrash is filling up, and the Rebbe himself is walking in, and all of a sudden the fellow under the table, he grabs the hand of the Gabbai and he bites his hand. And the Gabbai lets out a scream, and everyone's looking, and it's a big tumult in the Beis Medrash. And the Belzer Rebbe comes over and he takes this fellow and he takes the Gabbai and he takes him over to the side. And he calls him aside and he says to him, "What are you doing under the table?" So he says, "Rebbe, I wanted to hear the Rebbe's Torah. I wanted to hear the Rebbe's Torah." He says, "But you bit the Gabbai. You can't bite the Gabbai. I understand you want to hear the Torah." So the Rebbe says, Listen. "Your Mesiras Nefesh is remarkable. Your desire to learn Torah is unbelievable." He says, "And the truth is, you're right. A person who's willing to sneak into the Beis Medrash and hide under the table to hear Torah better is right. But listen to what the Belzer Rebbe said to him. He said, I have a Kabbalah for my parents and my grandparents. That dafka, when a person is right, dafka when you know you're right, she Yehudi nikar daika b'zman shu tzodik. That the essence of a Jew emerges that even when you're right, you're still willing to recognize, but there's someone else who has a different way of looking at things. That even though you're right, but there's someone else who has, and there's still a way that a person has to act. And we have to acknowledge that there are others." Many Hasidim start wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin and dafka when they get married. So I once saw a beautiful explanation. You know why you start wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin and dafka when you get married? Because when you get married, you need to remind yourself that there are other shitas, there are other opinions. But Rashi, we paskin like Rashi. Okay, but Rabbeinu Tam's not a lightweight. And neither is your wife, and neither is your chavrusa, and neither is your roommate, and neither is that guy you passed 1,000 times on Amsterdam Avenue, and you barely said good morning to him. He's also part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. He also counts, he also matters. To be able to see something from someone else's perspective. I wanted to share with you a quote, maybe one little drush to connect last week's parsha to this week's parsha. Saw a beautiful quote in a book one time. And it's mamish something that a person can, like the Bali Musar, would meditate on a Maimar Chazal for a long time. It's from a secular book. But it's mamish something that a person can really work on himself with. "It is well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, is composed of others." It is well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, that other than you, everyone else is others. Which means there's a lot more others than there is you. And as much as when we see things through our own eyes, we feel that my way is correct, and I want to just bury my head again in another daf of Maseches Kedushin, and that's a very holy thing. But the parsha demands that once in a while we have to figure out what are we going to do with everyone else? What are we going to do with the people who have yet to taste, again, the sweetness of the Beis HaMedrash? Like we all know, again, last week we were Kabbal the Torah. Kabbalah Satorah, Aseres HaDibros, the Dvar Hashem. The Svarim point out, Baal Turim brings, that there are 172 words in the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro. The Ben Ish Chai says that 172 is Gematria Ekev. So the Ben Ish Chai says, V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un, V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un. The Medrash says that V'haya is always a Lashon of Simcha. There's a unique Simcha when Ekev Tishmu'un, when you listen to the 172nd word of the Aseres HaDibros. How did the Aseres HaDibros end? Lo sachmod beis re'echa, lo sachmod eishes re'echa, v'avdo v'amaso v'sharo v'chamoro. Yes, his world is very different and you shouldn't be jealous of it. V'chol asher l're'echa. You shouldn't be jealous of anything that someone else has. You have your world and he has his world. But says the Ben Ish Chai, v'haya ekev tishmu'un. What a simcha it will be when that last word tishmu'un, when you start to listen to that last word re'echa, and you realize that, wait a minute, there's someone else out there. There is someone else, and even if it doesn't mean that I'm going to become him and he's going to become me, but there's someone else out there. V'haya ekev tishmu'un. And I think that's mamish the kesher between last week's parsha and this week's parsha. How does Kabbalah Satorah end? We know from the Gemara Brachos, HaKol Holich Achar HaChasima. What's the Chasima of Parshas Yisro? That when you're going up the ramp of the Mizbeach, You should go very slowly. It should be a ramp and not steps, lest you uncover erva. It's a strange thing. Kohanim shuffling up the steps of the ramp of the Mizbeach. It's a very strange thing. And then the parsha begins, Ve'ela Mishpatim, and now we start to meet this cast of characters. All the people we described in this week's parsha. Says the Medrash in this week's parsha, what's the smichas of parshas between the ramp at the end of last week's parsha and Ve'ela Mishpatim, the beginning of this week's parsha? Amar Rabbi Avina, Kishem Shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKohanim, Shalo you post in Psios Gassos Agabim Mizbeach, just like a Kohen has to go slowly, slowly up the ramp. So too, Ve'ela Mishpatim, so too, when you're judging, you should judge slowly. A dayan should take it slow. But we know that ve'ela is always mosif on that which came before. What's the ve'ela? What's the kesher shel kayama between the ramp and that shuffle, that slow shuffle at the end of last week's parsha, and the ve'ela mishpatim in this week's parsha? Says the Medrash that when you're making your way up the ramp, the mahalchin ekev b'tzad gudel. The way up the ramp is what? Is ekev. V'haya ekev tishmu'un. I know this is very much b'derach drush, but says the Ben Yishchai via Ekev Tishmun, if you're making your way up there, the parsha ends with what? With Kohanim shuffling Ekev. That 172nd word, Ve'ela Mishpatim. You want to know how you're going to deal with this cast of characters, Ve'ela Mishpatim? How you're going to deal with the murderers and the robbers and the thieves and the bullies and the people who are irresponsible with their property and with your property? And what are you going to do to deal with all these avadim? And all of these shrachos, what are you going to do with all these people? Remind yourself what? Remind yourself that the Kohen in his avoda is also saying to himself over and over again, Ekev. Re'echa, the last word of Yeser Sedivros. That these are my people, and I have to care about them. I have to take achrayis for them. And therefore, again, somehow, maybe, it's not an easy task. But maybe we can blend the two worlds. Maybe it's possible on the one hand to be real B'nai Torah, who can make a Birchas Hanan and a Birchas HaTorah, who can immerse ourselves fully in the Beis Medrash, and yet at the same time lift our heads once in a while and look out that window and recognize that again there's a world full of others. And I leave you with a quote from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Picked it up at the Sfarim sale today, by his light. Very end of the Sefer on page 217. A couple of years after we moved to Yerushalayim, I was once walking with my family in the Beis Yisrael neighborhood where Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer used to live. For the most part, it consists of narrow alleyways. We came to a corner and found a merchant stuck there with his car. The question came up as to how to help him. It was a clear case of priku te'ina, helping one load or unload his burden. There were some youngsters there from the neighborhood who, judging by their looks, were probably 10 or 11 years old. They saw that this merchant was not wearing a kippah. So they began a whole pilpul based on the Gemara Psachim, Kuf Yud Gimel, about whether they should help him or not. They said if he walks around bareheaded, presumably he doesn't separate Trumas and Maestros, so he's suspect of eating and selling untithed produce, v'chulu, a whole shtickle Torah. I wrote to Rav Soloveitchik a letter at that time and told him of the incident. I ended with the comment, children of that age from our camp would not have known the Gemara, but they would have helped him. My feeling then was, listen to what Rav Aaron says, you can't argue that Rav Aaron was someone who was kokulo in the Beis Medrash, and you also can't argue that Rav Aaron didn't have the sensitivities of the person who was not yet in the Beis Medrash. My feeling then was, why, Ribono Shel Olam, must this be our choice? Can't we find children who would have helped him and still know the Gemara? Isn't it possible to do both? Do we have to choose? I hope not, and I believe not. Yirtzeh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. And again, we should strike this unbelievably delicate balance between being true B'nai Torah in the Beis Medrash, swimming, immersing ourselves in the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that full body experience. And at the same time, again, reminding ourselves over and over again that with one trifling exception, the entire universe is filled with others.